You're listening to episode 71 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. You can't win them all, though I'm not sure why not.
There was a Canadian company that, for the moment, will remain unnamed, that made some announcements. I think the biggest announcement, really, I saw it in a Twitter update from The Onion.
Yeah.
As you know, BlackBerry has hired Alicia Keys as their global creative director.
Which, I know it's bitter to talk about the Super Bowl still, but might I add, that is one good-looking chick. But
fair enough. But The Onion tweeted out that BlackBerry was stunned as Alicia Keys terminated 200 employees on her first day as global creative director, which is hilarious because we all know that it's a fake job.
Yeah. What is interesting about, and this is actually just a little bit of outside tech news, is that like Alicia Keys is notoriously protective of her image, and in that she like never endorses anything. She
really?
doesn't.
The question is, do they pay her a bazillion dollars because she uses an iPhone, or she used to at least?
I think they gave her an inordinate amount of money, and she's not the spokesperson for BlackBerry. She's the creative director. They basically,
what does that even mean?
I think they put her in charge of creating the of ads and stuff. And you know, I think they're actually going to like they're going to her. I think my guess. Okay, this is my guess. I think Alicia Keys, or you know, the multi talented and you know, does all sorts of stuff. Been in movies, done music, done a bunch of whatever. I think she's
even a Gwen Stefani route. Am I thinking of the right person?
Lady Gaga.
Sure.
Which one?
I don't know. One of those two.
She's
blonde, sings.
Yes.
But it's more like a really white hair blonde.
I'm going to say.
Medium length.
She is blonde, the platinum blonde from No Doubt.
It's the girl who, she's doing the Windows 8 phone commercials right now, where she's on the tour bus. I see him on Hulu all the time.
I don't watch Hulu. I haven't actually seen any.
All right, well, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
The point is, for a lot of these singers / actors, not the other way around, they... sorry, this is a Zoolander reference. Say no slashes, folks. Oh, that movie's awesome. Anyways, they are really learning that obviously they have a following, and they can write songs, and they can do movies and commercials and things like that. But they are finding that they're highly creative people with a following, and that they are branching into these other tech or design spaces. Because one of them, she's like working on a clothing line, I think is what the commercial indicates. But so I think this is one of those where, she is expanding what she does. It's obviously not going to be a traditional role, right? It's more like she's a consultant that they will talk to every once in a while and say, hey, how can you make us cool? And they'll show ideas to her, and she'll, you know, improve them, hopefully, before they actually roll out. And you know what I mean? But it's more like, it's like one, she's right in between, like, actually being an employee and a board of director. You know, she's right in the middle. I put it consultant. That's where I'm going to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's,
but anyways, Jay-Z, I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. That wasn't the big news at all.
Yeah. So
I just
the
thought
big
the Onion's so, hilarious.
So the big news is that RIM has finally acknowledged the uncomfortable.
RIM is dead.
Yeah,
it's no more. I know.
They have acknowledged the uncomfortable truth that everybody has known forever. That did I disappear for a second?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, sorry, my computer's freaking out. It was actually at a security update, and it flashed. It froze my screen. I was like, did that? So RIM finally acknowledged the uncomfortable truth of the fact that nobody knows who Rim is, and they always think of BlackBerry as the company. So they acknowledge the fact that that's all they are, and the company is now called BlackBerry. They've rebranded themselves as their product. Which kind of makes sense, since there's really no product outside of BlackBerry that they make. So why would you do anything? And they did the reverse Apple Incorporated, where Apple Computers Inc. had expanded their product line and diversified their product line enough where it didn't make sense to only be called Apple Computers anymore, and so they became Apple Inc. BlackBerry has done the exact opposite, which is they've become so contracted and they only do one thing that it doesn't make sense to have a parent name.
Yeah, it'd be the equivalent of Apple becoming, we are now iPhone Inc.
Exactly.
Or iOS Inc. Or something.
Yeah. Well, and I think it has everything.
Or Microsoft becoming Windows Inc.
Yeah. Exactly. I think it actually has to do with the idea that Rim is going to be bought, and I think that there's been so much talk about people buying quote unquote the BlackBerry, but leaving the other components that Rim finally was just like, we're going to change the game by changing our name. We're basically going to put it out there that look, you either buy all of us or you don't buy anything. They don't want to get parted out. They want to be bought wholesale. And so they're putting everything on the name BlackBerry. And the same day that they did that, they launched the BlackBerry 10, which is the latest operating system. And early reviews of it were generally positive, people saying, yeah, it's pretty nice.
You obviously read different reviews than I did.
Well, I read a couple of different things. I read how the markets are responding to it, and analysts are responding to it, and then I read how actual users are responding to it, which actual users were generally warm, right? Unless you're thinking of something, you know, like Red.
Did I watch The Verge review of it?
Yeah.
And it was like, he goes, well, I can't really recommend this phone. he's basically like, so it is either on par or worse than all your other options out there.
Ouch.
And they're like, and then they did say, which I thought was weird too. Some people were like Walt Mossberg. He was like, they had this intuitive thing where you flip back to your notifications, and then you can actually see your notifications. He's like, and that's really cool to have it all in one spot. But then like, on The Verge, she goes, yeah, at first I thought that was really cool, and then I started using it, and you suddenly realize that their notification thing is totally messed up, in the sense that he was, how did he describe it? I don't know if I can articulate it just like he did, but he was like, pretty much like, say you got a tweet and you get a new tweet. He's like, yeah. If you tap on it, it will actually go to your first notification. He's like, because they're not really notifications, it just... that is the app opening up. And so it opens you up to the top one. And again, so it was like, so it's like really hard to get to your other ones, and you kind of got to like layer through it. And he was like, it's weird. He was, eventually you learn how that works. It's like, I just don't get it. And yeah. And so, I mean, he was just like, I think they did say that typing on it is one of the better ones. You know, yeah. which you're like, all right, well, that's cool. They said like taking pictures on it, especially like low light, they're like, it's not even in the same group as the other ones. They go, clearly they didn't focus on this. The hardware itself doesn't look bad, other than the fact that like it looks like all the other phones. You know, it's whatever.
Right. Yeah, and this is the BlackBerry Z, which runs operating BB10.
Yeah, and then they have the Q10 and.
Yeah,
which has a keyboard and.
That's interesting. I didn't read the Verge article, man. That's. I'll be honest. That's not shocking to me. That's the general review of it.
Yeah. Well, so he got done and he was like, "So I can't." He goes, "I can't recommend this. Just get an Android phone or an iPhone." It's like those are really your only two choices.
Yeah.
So he didn't even recommend a Windows phone,
which I think
has certain merits, but.
As I say, I still think the Windows phones are decent phones, and
which The Verge tries really hard to be non-biased in their reviews and what they say. At least their official reviews.
Yeah,
they try really. I mean, it's almost like frustrating. Where I don't know if you watch. I'm going to do this. I'm sorry. I'm going to bring this up, but they were before the game, they were interviewing a whole bunch of players, asking them who they thought was going to win and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was funny. Like, you talk to players who are retired and don't have to make anybody happy, and they totally had an opinion.
Yeah.
And were actually fun to listen to. You talk to some of the, especially like some of the younger like players who they brought in. I'm thinking of the Colts quarterback, Andrew Luck. They're like, so who do you think's going to win? Who do you think's the best quarterback? And he was just like, well, I think both are good and have their good qualities, and I wish them both luck. They're like, that's not what we asked. Who do you think is going to win? And he was just like, pass, next question. I don't want to answer that. And
yeah, especially since there's clearly one future Hall of Famer that was on the field tonight, and he was wearing red and gold.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I agree. The dude, 10 games
agrees.
In, playing for the Super Bowl. And
I know.
He wasn't – I would like him – maybe if he had a couple – yeah, we'll go down this path. If he had a couple more games, maybe he completes that last pass, you know, or PI actually gets called and, you know, they end up winning it. Didn't happen. It's sad. But
– yeah. That's, yeah.
Which isn't – it wasn't his fault, man. The defense was holding them two drives earlier and – they did. They made two mistakes, right? They jumped off sides when they shouldn't have, and they did do a pass interference, which is actually a pretty bad one when they didn't have to, and that kept the drive alive, which is what led them to the win. But anyways, besides the point, I agree with that. The point of all of that was to say that sometimes The Verge can be frustrating, like Andrew Luck was in those interviews. We're like, oh, I think they're all great. I think they all have merits, and they can all do really well in the marketplace. No, that's not what I asked you. Which one do you recommend? And this was one of the very, very few reviews that I saw where he kind of got done and was like, I don't know why you would buy this phone.
That's funny.
Like, whoa. All right.
Well,
so, there you go.
So what's interesting is that – so one of the interesting differing angles, I guess, from a consumer's perspective is really bad news. Only 1 in 8 – people would consider trying out the BlackBerry 10 operating system.
Really?
As of Wednesday. Yeah, which is terrible news because it's a really small number, unless you consider that the fact that that's actually 12.5% of Americans are willing to try it out, and that's a huge upswing over their current market share. So it's actually great news that many Americans are like, yeah, sure.
Yes.
It's, you know, they've only got like a 6% market share. And so it's
you
like,
know, they're like Apple, right? Hey, because for whatever reason, this is how bad I am. Okay. I was watching some YouTube stuff. And you know how when you get to the end of the video, it gives you recommendations.
Yes.
I don't remember what I was watching that led up to it. It was probably like the slow-mo guys because I love their videos. And but one of them was like, watch the 2007 Steve Jobs keynote when he unveils the iPhone. I was like, click. 2 hours later. and it was, dude, it's actually really interesting to go back and watch it because some of the stuff that he talks about, I remember at the time going like, wow, this is just mind-blowing amazing. How that's magic. You know, and now it's, what are we, 5-ish years later? A little more than that, you're like, yeah, and it is so much beyond even that. It's also interesting to see like some of the stuff that they talked about that actually didn't happen. And in some ways, you're like, it's much better than how it was, but... like one of their examples was when you were on the phone call and you went to the home screen, the icon would flash to let you know that you were still on a call. And I think their bringing down the bar was a much better solution. Anyway, so just little mini things like that. What was the point of all of that?
1 in 10 Americans.
In that presentation was the one where he was like, we've done the math, and all we need is 1%, and we'd be very happy, because, you know, it's a $1 billion market or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, so I can imagine REM, they're doing the same math, right? They're like,
right.
1 in 8, we'll take it.
And the
1 in 10 we were hoping for.
Right, and it's one of those things where it actually takes a surprisingly small amount of market share in order to, as long as you continue to improve and continue to grow, to really take off.
That's the trick.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, if BlackBerry 10 is good enough and BlackBerry 11 is a great follow-up, you know, maybe that is enough to them over and help them survive.
It's not, man, because what they're going to do, I mean, you know how this works. Like, what they need to do, and they just refuse to do it, which is infuriating, is they need to niche it down and say, okay, we are going after, like, stockbrokers. I don't know. People who need a very specific type of device and, you know, that are focused on email or something. And really just curtail it to them and that industry instead of trying to compete against everybody and saying, you know, which, whatever, they're just getting lost in their own message, which is fine. And so even if they did that, even with the 1 and 8, the things that they do right, Google and Apple, they're watching and they have the resources to, you know, in a year or two, if they determine that it's important, they'll have it.
Right.
And it will just be better. Well, you know, if their notification slide out thing, ultimately, after you get used to it, you go, wow, this is really ingenious. Well, let's do that from now on. They'll copy it, you know, and quite frankly, improve upon the concept. But, you know, I don't know. I look at what Microsoft is doing with the keyboard, and, you know, like we were talking about how they'll change the key size depending on your typing.
Yeah.
Dude, I am fairly certain that, I mean, if I were Apple and Google, I would be watching that like a hawk, and you go, oh, that's actually a really brilliant idea. And, yeah, so what if they've got 10 years of Word research on us? You know, Google's like, we have the web.
Right. And, yeah, exactly. We have Google Search, the greatest spell checker of all time. And to me, it's one of those things where it's like Apple's predictive spelling is actually pretty good in my humble opinion. Especially in its like in its intelligence.
But combining it with that layer of keys to make it easier.
That's what I mean. Well, what it is it's Apple lets you hit whatever keys you're going to hit and then just guesses what you meant to spell after you're done. Whereas the Windows Phone does it as you're typing is essentially what the difference is. And they do it sort of, you know, and they're dynamically changing where your thumb sit. So it actually feels more fluid. You don't have to just trust that you get to the end of the word and it's spelt right. And that Apple will fix it when you get done, which it's funny. They've done studies and they say that younger people who type faster spell way better on iPhones than older users who type slower. And just general, there's a general correlation there. Huh. You don't have to be the important part is the fast typers versus the slow typers, because the slow typers read as they're typing and they try to fix it when it's going wrong, whereas the fast typers just get to the end of the word and trust that Apple will fix it for them, and it does. Because of Windows' solution to it, it corrects it, it gets better as you go. It sort of works for all users. The point of what you're saying, though, and I want to echo this, is that anything that BlackBerry does, everybody else will do, have completely replicated. Google will replicate it in a month, and Apple will have it by within the next refresh, if it's a good enough idea. One of the big things...
And just BlackBerry, they can't compete with that kind of speed. They literally don't have the resources. And at this point in time, even their history doesn't matter.
Right, and what's crazy here is in one of the analysts that pointed it out, they said it's, you know, they said it's basically too little too late was the summing up of what BlackBerry 10 is, because they were like,
we knew
it's too little in that, like you said, they don't have any big killer features that nobody else can replicate. They don't have any unique software. They were making fun of the fact that like this is the Motley Fools, and they're making fun of the fact that it's like pretty much every app you can download for your BlackBerry 10, you could download now on a 7-year-old Xbox. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, there's nothing that this hardware gives you that you can't get on any other smartphone anywhere else. And oftentimes you can get it better. There's nothing unique to the phone when it comes to a software perspective, which is a huge part of why people buy their phones, the ecosystem that they're a part of, as we call it now. But it's, you know, it's what apps do you have? What software can you run?
This was similar to Palm's event when they unveiled WebOS, where this is the equivalent of that final drive that the 49ers had, where it was like, you got to score a touchdown here or you're done. you know, there will be a couple minutes left of hope, but honestly,
the other thing that the Motley Fools pointed out was that this is really in order to quote unquote win the game to get the touchdown, there were two things that were really important. One of the big things was the idea of having something that would move it's the exclusive titles with new video game systems. It was Halo for Xbox. It's Mario for Wii. It's, you know, Metal Gear Solid for PlayStation. It's the software that's unique. They don't have that. They don't have anything that's going to move it on its own. And then to make compound matters, it really was a timing issue. The markets move so quickly. People get so excited that you need to capture everybody's attention and capitalize it on it right away and start building momentum. And the analysts were really excited about BlackBerry 10 coming out in February, right at the beginning of February. Nobody else is launching anything. Apple doesn't have any big thing coming out till earliest this summer. That's like the earliest rumors is that the refresh will start to come again in July or August, which I think is wrong, but that's what the rumors are. That's the earliest though. And even Google really doesn't have anything. Samsung's not going to launch anything till like end of March at the earliest, really, you know, maybe even as late as May. Google doesn't have any big plans coming out. Motorola doesn't. Nobody is launching a big flagship phone until the end of March. They have 2 months clear, and you know, they have 2 months of blue skies to be the only guys talking about new hardware. Guess what? They don't launch till the middle of March. It just is like, oh my gosh, you're killing us. You've actually got an opportunity here to not just bring us something new and unique, but you actually have one of the rare windows of opportunity to be the only people that matter and to start building some momentum. And they squandered both of those. So nobody's optimistic about BlackBerry 10 at this point, which I still don't think it'll kill the company. I think they're fighting the slow defeat. There's nobody who will buy them. There's nothing to buy, you know, necessarily at this point. They still have too many employees, too much infrastructure, and too much intellectual property to be sold. They're actually too valuable to be bought at this point. And you know, but there wasn't anything that's going to change the momentum. You know, and that's what they needed, is they needed to change the momentum at this point, and they didn't. They announced something that won't.
Which, if you remember, like I said, if you just use WebOS and Palm as an example, they actually came out with something that everyone thought was legitimately awesome and cool.
Yeah.
And they still couldn't hold on.
Right.
And here you have a company that you're like, yeah, it's okay. You know, cool. You are at par with 2010 phones.
Yeah. Congrats.
Good job, guys. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, bummer. So you still still with me that they're gonna hold on? I mean, you think they're gonna, you know, they're gonna want to watch sales for like 9 months to see what happens before they totally kick the bucket.
Well,
I'm gonna keep cutting you off. Unless there's some other company out there that is like, well, this is legitimately cool, and we could integrate this into our system, so we're buying you.
Yeah, but the question is always who, and I don't know who. The answer is nobody.
Samsung.
HP could decide to get in the mobile market again.
I don't think, if I were BlackBerry, I would not want to sell to HP.
Yeah, me neither.
For obvious historical reasons.
Yeah, sort of. If I were HP,
I feel like a lot of the board and the CEO stuff, it should be behind HP. Maybe, I'm hoping, fingers crossed. I still wouldn't sell just because.
Well, yeah, and I think it would be I don't think HP would gain anything from it. I don't know. It's one of those.
Well, there's no excitement. You'd have to have a game plan for integrated into whatever it is that you're doing.
Right.
Because you don't got the consumer excitement at all.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Okay. RIM bashing is awesome.
I know.
I love it.
I love hating them.